Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Wednesday and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Michelle Pache, and I'm here today with Dr. Michael Rice. We warmly welcome you to the show and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is Wednesday, October 16th. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1 and that puts you into queue to talk with Michael. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because then that makes this your show. So now let's welcome Michael in the process of learning and practicing forgiveness.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I just want to check my connection here, seeing as how I'm in Italy, and make sure I'm coming through loud and clear. Can you hear me all?
We can hear you. The clear part is, I'm not sure. It seems like it's breaking up from time to time. Dr. Tim, what are you hearing?
Yes, it was very broken.
So, Michael,
are you there, Michael?
I'm going to just see if I can find a better location for.
I'm guessing that you said something about finding a better location, but that's a guess. That's how broken up your transmission was. So,
that's
just
it.
Start talking again if you think you have a better connection, and we'll interrupt what's going on. But I will welcome people to the show, and I'm just blown away by what happened in our support group last night. How was yours, Michelle?
Oh, it was amazing. It was very interesting because, if you recall, I was excited about the David Hoffman and wanted to learn more about it, and we talked about getting the link. And in the evening, Mitzi was there, and although she wasn't on the radio show yesterday, she had in her hand the word, the videotape, and said, we're going to do something different tonight. And there it was, 5 hours manifested. I hadn't even gotten your email. And so that's what we did. We watched over an hour of it yesterday with a large group of people, and it was very powerful, like you had recommended.
Wonderful. And what was the processing like after the video?
Oh, I think, I guess we were all over the place. You know, it touched different people in different ways. And so actually, I think there was as many reactions as there were folks in the room. One gal was talking about, like, wow, there's other people who know what Michael Rice knows and promote it and talk about it in different ways. And, you know, maybe sometimes those different ways you get a different cut. It's I think that would be similar to, like, my experience of you, Dr. Tim. You know, you understand the principles, and the way you explain them from your perspective might sound something different to somebody else, and they connect with it. So I think that was kind of cool, just to hear all the Aramaic words and him giving the definitions for him, and just the way he explains it. It just adds another layer to build on what we're moving towards.
Well, it's exciting that Mitzi was able to bring that to you. I don't know why you didn't get my
email. I'm sure I got it. It wasn't that. It was just that, like, of all things, why did she choose to do that?
Well, there's a lot of what people would call coincidence or synchronicity or miracles that happen. And last night in our support group, we had no shortage of all of the above. And we watched the first half of Dr. Rice's lecture on purpose, personal power, and commitment. And this is a lecture that really does a wonderful job of laying out a technique for using the things you're naturally good at to do the things you love to do to help the world be a better place. And in the first hour, he outlines that process and the motivation for it. And then we had our brief intermission, and then we got back together for our discussion. And one member, several people were quite moved by the talk and the idea of being able to focus their creative power in their life and choose something that really nurtured them and their world. And one person spoke up and said that she really, ever since she was a young child, has felt to be true most of what she hears in Dr. Rice's lectures, and that she's really pleased to have these specific tools for making it happen more in her life. But she has a specific problem, and that is, her problem was how to hold a space of love in the face of people who are doing angry, judgmental, fearful, punishing, or abusive behaviors. And as we began to work with her and support her to talk about it, there are different members of the group helped make it very clear that there's nothing in this work that says we have to lay down and be a doormat and allow people to be abusive to us and stay in relationships or be in work settings that are abusive and just sit there and hold a space of love for the person while they do mean, nasty, or abusive things. And none of that seemed to help this person, so we asked her to get more specific. And she outlined a situation where she had recently taken her mother to the hospital. Her mother's 87. And the people at the hospital refused to treat her and said she probably just needs to be put in a nursing home. And so our group member was shocked by that and saddened and found a different hospital that was quite a bit farther away from home and got her mother there, and they treated her mother and found what was wrong, and everything started to get better, except that now her mother needed some time in a rehab facility because she'd been bedridden for a while. And then somebody from a bank who's trying to pull a rather unscrupulous move decided to try to serve papers to her 87-year-old mother while she was in the nursing home or in the rehab facility. And as our group member tried to talk about this, she couldn't really talk. She was crying so hard, and she was holding her breath so much, and she was so upset. And different people in the group supported her in breathing and softening what was rigid within her and identifying what would be happening if we were actually doing a worksheet process, the reality management worksheet process, to specify what her thoughts were, what her feelings were, what her goal was for the other person. And we kept supporting her in identifying and canceling goals until she finally got down to the point where when we asked her to breathe and tell us what she was feeling, she felt numb. And then we asked her to let the numbness step aside and see what's underneath it, and she froze and began crying and said, "I can't let go of it or I'll die." And she got in touch with the fact that she was feeling like she was 3 years old. And so she did a whole series of canceling goals for the three-year-old version of herself, and she got very clear about what was happening. When she was 3 years old, she was put in the hospital, and her mother was also hospitalized. And then her mother got out of the hospital, but the 3-year-old had to stay in the hospital and was put in isolation for 10 days. And you have to understand that the course of what I'm telling you unfolded in about a 45-minute period. Lots of crying, lots of breathing, lots of softening, lots of people in the room holding the space of love for her. And as she finally started to cancel the goals for her 3-year-old self to be safe, to protect her mother, to protect herself, the whole list of goals, she began to get more in touch with a stronger, safer feeling. And we worked her through a visualization to stabilize that stronger, safer feeling, and we canceled all the goals we could think she needed to cancel, and then we asked her how to, or to take a deep breath and give us a picture of how she's feeling. And she sat there clear-eyed and with a strong, clear voice and said, "I feel fine." And we asked her to think about the people that had tried to serve papers on her mother and people who rejected her mother at the hospital and how if she felt any of the sadness and anger. And she said, "No, I don't feel any of it." So she had this very deep clearing by working through the worksheet process and canceling an abundance of goals. But the real power was happening in the group. And a woman who was just sitting one person away from her in the group then spoke up and said, "I'm so glad I made it to this group tonight because I have a 3-year-old daughter who's being treated for cancer. And this was so powerful for me to realize that I need to work to cancel my fear and my anger so that I can be there for my 3-year-old daughter in a loving, clear way." And then the next person over said, "I'm so glad you shared this because I had many deep traumas when I was 3 years old. And listening to you process and work this has helped me identify places I still need to cancel goals and do more worksheets." No less than 6 of the 13 people in that group spoke up and said, "I had traumas at 3, or I had a child who almost died at age 3, or I had family goals pressured on me from age 3 on, and this was so helpful for me that this group member was brave enough and had the willingness to work through that process and share at such a deep level." And there were many, many tears, and there was much, much relief and integration and healing in that group last night. And it was far more powerful than my words can describe today. But thank you for listening as I share just a little bit of what went on in our group last night.
That's awesome, Tim.
Who's there?
Millions yet unborn will benefit from that piece of work.
Is that Dr. Michael Rice?
That's me. Can you hear me this time?
Yes, very clear. Wonderful. That was so clear I thought it was Rex.
Oh, good. I went to a different place. Went to a different place and restarted my phone. So I'm glad we're coming through finally. It's kind of a wasteland for getting on the internet here in Italy. It's difficult to do.
You went to a different part of the house?
I moved to a different part of the house and restarted my phone. So, in any event, the thing I had on my mind to share. Actually, I've been wanting to do this since we were in Denmark. And your story just ties right into it so beautifully and so perfectly, and to me gives another level of understanding of why the worksheet is so important and why the space of safety to allow those things to open is so important. And one of the things we cover in the Laws of Living course, and that we did, it actually comes toward the end of the course, is how the human mind operates like truck brakes, which most people kind of scratch their heads and say, "What are you talking about?" And we go on to explain that, the reason why the trucker who complains about the price of fuel and how expensive it is leaves his truck running, goes in and has a shower, sleeps for a couple of hours, watch a movie, shoots a game of pool, then comes out to a still-running truck that used all that fuel and gets in it and drives away. why doesn't he just shut it off and save the gas? And the reason is because the truck can only move when there is an anti-inhibitor that allows it to move. In other words, the movement of the truck is always inhibited. If he shuts the truck down and the air pressure drops, there are strong springs that lock the brakes on and the truck can't move. It's a safety feature. If they lose power in a truck, the truck automatically stops itself. It's an inhibitor. And in order to move the truck, there has to be an anti-inhibitor, and the anti-inhibitor is the air pressure that works against the inhibitory springs, pulls them back off of the brake so that the axle will move and the truck can travel. So it's cheaper for him to leave it run and use the fuel than it is to shut it down and come out and sit and wait till the air pressure builds up so he can move. Well, it's a perfect analogy. It's exactly how the human brain works. And it's been shown that in excess of 90% of brain chemistry is inhibitory, which means that it's shutting something down, which might mean there's 90% that needs to be uncovered and looked at, and that's what forgiveness does. It opens those inhibitors. It provides an anti-inhibitor that allows those brain cells to fire so that the thing that happened when I was 1 or 2 or 10 or 20 or 50 or 90 that I had inhibited, that I had shut down, it allows it to come forward. And, of course, the key step in the worksheet there is that step where you tap into the active presence of love. And so when those things that have been inhibited that hold pain and trauma are exposed to the active presence of love and then reinforced by the group, so safety and support, it just dissolves those things in mass, like in huge ways. When we were in Denmark, you know, Denmark is self-proclaimed as the happiest people in the world. And one of the experiences we had that brought to mind, I'd been sort of contemplating since in Laws of Living this summer when we talked about the inhibitor, in fact, I was contemplating how deep-reaching is this, how far-reaching, where did all this start, where does it all go? And in Denmark, the buses are kind of interesting. They're different than our, at least the buses I've been on in the States, where all the seats pretty much sit forward. But there are seats that point sideways. There are seats that point to the back. There are seats that point to the front. They're all over. So Jeannie and I are sitting about two seats behind the driver in seats that are pointed to the back of the bus. And the bus is full. And there are probably, I don't know, 50 people on the bus. And we can see most of their faces. There is not a happy face on the bus. There's no sign that there is any life or joy in any face that we look at. And it's interesting, the side door, they have room for people to bring in bicycles and baby buggies and those sorts of things, which is kind of cool. And there's a woman who has two babies, about maybe 2 and a half, in a baby buggy. And she's, you know, trying to struggle to keep this thing from rolling around and, you know, control it as the bus is stopping and starting. And there's one sign of human life on the bus. And, of course, our definition in this work is hold a newborn child. You know what human life is. It's the active presence of love, joy, aliveness, creativity, genius, all sorts of neat things. And she's got these twins, one little boy and one little girl, and the little boy is oblivious to who's there or what's going on. He has no embarrassment whatsoever. He's just singing up a storm. I mean, he is so alive and so excited about life and so delighted. He's not far from that 3-year-old age. And I watch his mother in her frantic effort to instill inhibitors in his throat and in his mind. She's looking around at the people on the bus like, oh, my God. You know, we've talked about the Yanta Law. You don't step out of line. Well, this is, to me, what looked like the Yanta Law. So here's this woman who's trying to, you know, put her hand over the child's mouth, shut him. She's frantic. She's obviously very disturbed. And she's just pounding those inhibitors into this little kid. Now, I say pounding. I don't mean physically hitting him. But her hand over his mouth, obvious disapproval, obvious, you're not allowed to have this kind of aliveness. Shut your mouth, kid. And I looked at her and I caught her eye and I smiled and I said, you know, it's beautiful to see a sign of life in the bus. Please let him sing. And she went right on putting the inhibitors in. I mean, it was just such a clear example of how we have inhibitors put into us. And a few minutes after that, there was another woman who was sitting off to the right of the child. And she caught this little guy's eye and started to play with him. And all of a sudden, in response to his being human and alive, this woman, all of a sudden, her eyes light up, her face beams, she smiles, human life shows up in her. And she's just kind of playing eye contact with this little guy and, you know, kind of moving her hands around. And it's like, ah, just look at the spark of human life. And the mother is still trying to shut the kid down. We happened to get off at the same bus stop as she did. And we talked to her. And she said, yeah, she said, you know, every time I go somewhere, people are disapproving. They're upset because the babies make a noise. And I said, you know, that sound is the sound of life. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. Let it happen when it does. And let go of your embarrassment. Forgive your embarrassment. You're having been inhibited in the way that human life isn't allowed. You're not allowed to shine. You know, we've talked with Peter a couple of times about the Yanta Law. You're not allowed to be an individual. You don't want to stand out. You don't want to be any different than anybody. When we were in Sweden, now it was a little different this time from the first time we were in Sweden, but the first time, and I've shared this on the show before, when I asked the question, actually any question that I asked in the workshops there, it was like pulling teeth to get somebody to offer an answer. And I found out later it's this Yanta Law that you're not supposed to stand out, you're not supposed to shine, you're not supposed to be different, you're not supposed to be better, you're not supposed to think, speak, or do anything different than anybody else. At one point we were crossing a street with someone that we met there. And, you know, the crosswalks were a good block away in each direction. It's night. There's no traffic whatsoever. So I start to walk across. And so we walk across, and she says, oh, we're disobeying. We're crossing the street, and we're disobeying. You look at the inhibitors. And I think that we can easily get a sense, and sometimes people want to be finished with their work yesterday. But when you look at examples like this, you get a sense of how much the human being in us has been inhibited and shut down, whether it's in an example like this woman at the support group with her child, and or her as a child and her mother, and just all of the trauma that's been locked into this system that takes away human life. And, you know, if you go back to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, he says, I come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly, to bring this abundance of human life forward in expression in a world that doesn't necessarily approve. And so that's what I've been thinking about sharing for the last week or so, and that's a perfect example of it, Tim. Thank you for that.
Well, you're most welcome. It's a privilege beyond words to host that group. It's a magnificent collection of people who are dedicated to supporting each other and doing their own work, and it just keeps growing. And as you say, that the power of letting it happen and that willingness to be there, you know, when I sat in that room last night and watched people all around the table just reaching for Kleenex and just writing in their own worksheets and doing breath work and tapping and just allowing the energy to flow rather than trying to put on appearances or trying to bottle it up, it's a wonderful, powerful process, and I thank you for making the tools available at great expense to yourself, and your commitment to the work is an inspiration.
Well, there's no question that we're going to get this to every mind, heart, and being on the planet and everything it takes to do it. You know, in 45 years, it's been an interesting journey, some interesting hurdles to cross, and the doors that are opening. You know, last week we sat, and the granddaughter of Niels Bohr, the Nobel Prize-winning physicist, is working on having us present in the scientific community there, the Royal Dutch Academy of Sciences, which is, they have a huge institute called the Niels Bohr Institute, which was founded, you know, 100 years ago, not quite 100 years ago, but on the basis of the work of Niels Bohr, who discovered the atom. And in harmony with that, I'm working on some new writing on how the human atom, a little play on words there, and how in a similar way these energies that change the nature and character of the atom can change the nature and character of our expression physically, mentally, emotionally, and that as we change those energetic dynamics, the whole game changes. So, you know, just the doors that are opening at this point. I talked with Archbishop Donald Gabriel Jolly last night, and it's looking like it's going to be difficult to get any doors to open to actually visit with the Pope and present the forgiveness work to him. And I'm sure that with the way he's talking about the poor and his care and concern for the poor, he's going to have the eyes to hear that there's a reason they're poor and there's something you can do about it. But he did share that he's talked with actually an archbishop in Mexico that he wants us to meet with, and that may be a door to opening and taking it on that level. So, you know, the different places that it's moving and happening, it's certainly amazing. And to have people stepping in and creating support for us to do it, you know, it's been a long road, primarily on our own. And to have folks like yourself, thank you, Michelle, thank you, Dr. Tim, and everybody else who's stepping up, you know, Bill, who started the 3H program, and everybody that's supporting and being part of that to take the load of Heartland off our backs, to just keep it moving. And now that these doors are opening, to have the energy and the space to contemplate and focus on and develop things that will move into those spaces is becoming of primo importance. So everything seems to be in perfect harmony and timing. And as well, my own physiology, I've been in a healing crisis the last couple of days, yesterday, because I really couldn't walk very well because my foot is in kind of agony in a healing crisis. As we look at new and feet, reflecting support and moving forward. So things are moving forward, and some things are clearing out of my structure to allow that to happen on a new level. So it's kind of cool to have the brain cells to understand what's happening. And Jeannie went to do a Vatican tour yesterday, and just came back with some awesome pictures, which I'm sure she's probably got some of them on the internet. And then today again, she was reluctant, but the fact that I really just wasn't in a space where I could do a whole lot of walking. Most of these things are just a huge amount of walking, and I'm having enough of a challenge just walking from one side of the apartment to the other. So she should be back here any minute now, but she's off experiencing Rome. She was going to just stay here, and it's like, no, we're in Rome, honey. Go and see it. Just because I can't doesn't mean, you know, I can at least get to experience it vicariously. It's just amazing. The city, the architecture, the buildings, it's just unbelievable, unbelievable.
Michael, I'm confident you are going to use all of the above to heal that foot.
You got it. It's underway. Just, it's just what's currently happening. New level of energy coming in needs to a new space to express. So I'm just breathing with it and canceling goals and undoing my own inhibitors and letting it rip.
Let go of the crystals. So Dora's on the phone.
Yes.
Sure she wants to say hi to you. Does that work?
Awesome. Hi. Let's talk to that young lady. We're going to get to see her in about 2 weeks, or I guess it's 3 weeks. And here we have Getting Unstuck Day. Dora, how do you be, young lady?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad that glad you all are there in Italy. And I'm hoping.
So are we. It's really quite amazing.
It's beautiful, isn't it? I love Italy.
Thank you.
I'm so at home when I'm there, more at home than when I'm in the States.
Mm-hmm.
But this past Monday, I was just so upset Monday night, just so tired of being stuck. I just went to bed almost in tears. Well, sometime in the middle of the night, I saw in my mind these great big words, like somebody was shouting, deservability, deservability. And I woke up and I go, oh, okay, so that's what I think.
What was the word?
Deservability, to deserve.
Deserve, oh, yes, uh-huh.
Yes. So it was like they were shouting it out. My, guides were giving me the message, work on deserving. So it was really cute, and I woke up very peaceful and calm, and I said, thank you. And I said, okay, and I'm really a lot more relaxed now. So that's where my focus is, so that's great. And
nice.
My
and
little...
Isn't it nice when you've done enough work? Isn't it nice when you've done enough work to be in the middle of your muddle, to stop and take a breath, and just let that guidance come forward? And it's always there for us. That's the awesome thing about it.
Yes, it was really very nice. It really was. So I was very,
sweet,
very thankful, very thankful. And you had given me a challenge to stay off the sugar for 30 days. And no, I haven't done anything. 2 weeks still eating sugar. It's a real challenge. But what I did find, somebody on Monday told me about cinnamon. Cinnamon stops the craving for sugar. So I put it on apple in the morning. And I can tell you, I did it Tuesday and today, and I really have not been thinking about sugar. And they also told me to try chromium, that will help me stop the craving for the sugar. So I'm going to go to Whole Foods tomorrow and look for that. And
chromium helps to regulate blood sugar. I hadn't necessarily heard that it will stop the craving, but let us know. That's awesome. And the information on cinnamon is a new piece of information for me, too. So fabulous.
Yes, yeah, they try it in your tea, on toast. So I've been doing it on apple, and I really think it's going to work. So that's my next little project, so I can get myself off the sugar. So, so that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I suspect that as you work on the deservability aspect, that all things sweet will come to your life, and you won't have to artificially sweeten it with a chemical called sugar. Just the sweetness of life will be plenty as you open that part of you that deserves life, and life so abundant on every level.
Most definitely. Thank you. And I'm really excited about working on this now. It was just mind-boggling the way. It was like they were shouting to me, pay attention, deservability. It was just really cool. So I'm definitely excited. Thank you.
And you're probably resonating some brain cells for a few others in the group. I know that that ties in. You know, I can recognize that, and the new levels of support that are showing up in the work, and that sort of ties into my healing crisis, is the willingness to receive that support and move forward with it. So I'll join you in healing that one.
Great. Thank you. How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing fine. I appreciate you calling, and I can't wait to meet you next month.
Oh, great. Me too. Well, Michael, say hello to Jeannie. Enjoy the rest of your trip. And
all right. We'll do it.
Ready?
Thank you.
Next Wednesday. Thank you all. Have a good week.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate
Take
it.
Care.
See you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And speaking of next month, Jeannie is doing the Women Healing Women 4-day retreat in November. Week after we get back from Europe, and I think she got her, there might be one space left, but I think she filled the last space last night. I'm not sure, but so it looks like it's going to be a full house, which is pretty awesome, and I'm sure that everybody that's there is going to benefit greatly. And even though I don't get to be there, it's going to be pretty awesome. So do we have any other callers or anything happening in the chat room?
No, we have a couple callers with their hands up. So let's start with North Carolina, our friend Susan Darnell. Hello, Susan.
Hey, Michelle. How are you?
Good.
Hello, Michael. It's so
Hey there,
good
young lady. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so glad you're on the show. The show's perfect. I have a little bit of fear come up when I start to push one. But after the lead-in with Dr. Kim and then what you added about the inhibitors, which I didn't really understand when we were in the 16-day laws of living, I would get it and then it would go away. It's like the brain cells weren't quite built. But when you described it today and the experience I had this weekend, it kind of puts two and two together. So anyway, I just have a short
awesome.
– I have a couple things I'd like to share. One of them is two things. First, I'm going to go with the fun thing, and then I will tell you about the worksheet that I did this weekend. I actually got to fly to Michigan. Chris invited me up, so I went up, and we had our official first date. And I can say that. I'm going to say that in Bree. And on the way up at the airport, I missed the plane on Friday at 6 a.m., and I ended up taking the one at 11. And I'm in going through New York, and this guy in the New York airport, him and his wife are sitting there, and she gets up to go check on the ticket, and he leans over to me, and he said, "Okay, tell me, just what are you on?" And I said, "Excuse me?" And he said, "Well, you missed your flight this morning, right, at 6 o'clock?" And I said, "That's right." And he said, "Well, how are you so happy?" And I said, happiness is an inside job, and the outside has no power, you know, doesn't have the power to make me happy or make me sad." And he talks to me for a few minutes, and he said, "Well, my wife gets back here. I want you to share this with her." And I said, "Okay." So I immediately am digging through my duffel bag and getting me a worksheet out, because I'm sure I'm writing the website down. And when she gets back, he said, "Listen to this woman." So I went ahead and told her exactly what he said and what I was talking about. And she listens, and she said, "Oh, yeah, my friend reads books." And I give her this information. I tell her, "Here's my name and number, and this is the worksheet, and this is the process of true forgiveness, you know, that Aramaic forgiveness that Jesus taught that was misrepresented as pardoning. We don't pardon people. We take full responsibility for the feelings that we have. And as we remove what doesn't belong, we can live in a place of joy." And so she's sitting there, and she's going, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." It's so funny. She turns back around. She talks to him for a few minutes. She turns back to me, and she said, "Do you live with anybody?" And I said, "I live with my dog." She said, "See, I told you. If she lived with you, she would be angry too." And I'm thinking, "Oh my God!" I said, "Listen, I said, really, read this book. This book is amazing. It will change your life, the way you see it, and I fully support you." I said, "You can call me. We'll talk about it, and you can live exactly like you see in me. I'm happy. Really, it's amazing." I said, anyway, so we talked for a few more minutes, and I'm going to tell you, as this voice in the New York airport, LaGuardia, when they heard me, people were jerking around looking to see who's talking. I was thinking, I should do a speech. But anyway, it was a good enough speech, because everybody was overhearing what she was saying, like, "What are you on?" He said that. It was really funny. So I had lots of miracles on my trip, and there was a lady that shared with me at the snack bar. She said, "So you missed your flight?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, just know, everything happens for a reason." And I said, "Thank you." And I went ahead and dropped my apple juice and started doing my worksheets. But the miracle was, so I get to the airport. Chris picks me up. We drive 3 hours north to Manistee, right on Lake Michigan, which is absolutely gorgeous, just like an ocean. And on the last night that we're there, we have done the commitment, said the commitment. Julie's kind of coaching me, Julie Haverstick, on this relationship stuff. And as you know, Michael, what I said, cancel the thought that it never works for me. Anyway, I know. I did my mind shift on it. So I'm looking at it, and I'm going, "Okay, breathe. So at the last night, Chris,
your 77 times 70 worksheet issue.
Yes, and I hope you'll be here to hold my hand.
That's the one you're
going
to have to confront at depth.
Yes. I accept, I'm willing, and I will do the work that needs to be done.
Stand in a space.
Yes.
There's a bit of a time delay here. Stand in a space of willingness so that when the deep and painful parts of that "it never works for me" come up, when the core issue comes up, that you breathe and you remember to stay connected and realize that that too is just an energy that needs to be processed out, because it's a deep core in that, and that deep core has to come up. And it's not usually pretty when it does, but, it's so awesome when you let go of it. It's like, you know, the thorn that we become used to and, you know, walk on it or, you know, whatever. And just, it's there, but we've kind of become adapted to it. It's become normal. When you allow yourself to get in full touch with it, it can be pretty intense. And we just hold the space for it to move and clear out. And
So Chris expressed the last night we had some things he needed to pick up at the store, and he said, you can stay here and rest. And he said, I'll go get what we need. And I said, you know, I'm afraid to stay here by myself. It's dark. And he looks at me and he says, you know, I really think that you'll be all right, but I'm going to go use the bathroom and I'll come back. So I'm grabbing my worksheet and I'm writing down that sentence. I don't feel safe here in the dark by myself. And I do this first worksheet, and at the very bottom, Dr. Tim says, close your eyes before you do number six. It says, I now feel, and I closed my eyes, and I just kept breathing and breathing and breathing. And I thought, I now feel the terror, and I remember being a baby and not being safe. And I just keep breathing. And by that time, Chris has returned to the table. I grab my next worksheet. After I finish that one, I put terror. I put the being a baby on myself. The thought is, I'm not safe. The world's not safe. And fear that I'm going to die. So anyway, I do this worksheet. And as I get through the story, just the story, the top at 1A through E, I keep breathing, and I got my eyes shut, and I say, Chris, you know, I feel tears coming, but they're way off. And as I continued to breathe and breathe and breathe, the tears got closer, and then they started to flow, and then the muscles in my neck all the way around started to tense like I was choking. And I kept hearing your voice, Michael, say, don't tense up. Just breathe, breathe, breathe. What did you say? Breath
soften.
Is to trauma. Wow. Yep. Breath is to trauma what heat is to water. It will evaporate.
That's it.
So I kept breathing,
Yes.
So it was a day bed right there behind the kitchen table. I just laid down the day bed. Chris was so good. He came over, sat down beside me, and held my hand. And I went through that whole energy in my throat moving out as my head pounded. It moved out the crown chakra, and I went through it. I mean, in the presence of love, in a relationship with my vitality, probably raised more than it would have been on my own, and the safe space of love that he was holding, I was able to let something really that happened probably pre-verbal for sure move out of my energy system to allow the space of love to come in and me be and be able to hold more of the presence of the truth of who I am. And I was explaining last night, as I shared this at my Mindshifter group, that it's like the surfers who sit in the ocean and wait for the wave. You know, they don't think about they're like, this is a wave. Let's jump on this wave. Let's go. You know, and that's what I see with that thought that came out of my mouth. You know, I'm afraid to stay here by myself. I went all the way back, like Dr. Tim said, breathe before you do number six. Go all the way back to what's the earliest memory? How old are you? What's the taproot? Go all the way back. And that's just, to me, that is absolutely beautiful. That is the power of this work. And so I just wanted to call it today. And now I know the inhibitors are the mind wanting to press it down. And love is the...
Well, and not only the mind, but the throat tightening, all those things. That's all part of the inhibitory process of shutting down that information. And so letting all those places soften is how they open. And, you know, you remind me of a gift that was given to us by a man named Rumi, and this goes back to the 13th century. And Rumi is a Sufi mystic, and what he says is, in the presence of love, all pain becomes medicine. And if we could just remember that, and to presence love instead of fall into identification with the pain that we're carrying, what's been inhibited in us, if we can just soften and open that space, whoa. The medicine is sweet at that point when the energy starts to move and you move into the energetic experience of being instead of the physical experience of being. So that's really sweet. Boy, you had quite a weekend.
Isn't that just incredible? It's like the work in action. I've just now listened to your DVD on healing through relationships. I actually put my phone in front of the TV while it was playing and taped it to my phone voice memo so I can listen to it while I'm working. And it's so powerful to see exactly what you said. When we get into a relationship, our vitality will go up. And if I, you know, there have been a time in my life, in the past, as Julie Haversick teaches me, in the past I would have said, you don't want to be with me. You don't want me to go with you. I'd have made up a whole story. And instead I said, hey, that's my thought. That's my carbon-based memory coming up. Let's write that down on a worksheet. Let's see what happens. What's under that? And today, I've got my clipboard in my car, and I've got at least probably 10 to 15 worksheets with just the beginning of the story of thoughts that I've caught that was less than loving and feelings that I've had that are less than loving. And tonight when I get home, my worksheets are ready. All I have to do is get the goal and keep going.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being such an awesome, powerful example of the work that people notice you in the airport. And thank you for doing your work and then to share it with us, because, you know, that story just opens a space for everybody. You know, that's one of the ideas, in the same way that Tim and Michelle were talking about the power of their support group, that this is the same idea. And so how many people you just opened the door for, who knows, but that's pretty cool.
And we're all surfers. We're sitting in the ocean. We're waiting for that wave of opportunity that comes with that thought or that feeling that's less than love. And when we jump on that surfboard and we ride that wave in, we are riding to the presence of love, which is a freedom to be love and presence in the world for everybody to shift, to bring that to mass consciousness. You know what I'm saying? You know what
Great
I'm saying,
analogy.
Michael?
That's a perfect, powerful analogy.
Well, I live by the ocean, and I went to see Lake Michigan, and I'm telling you, it was 25-mile-an-hour wind, and the waves, honestly, it was a freshwater ocean to me. It's beautiful. So good for you guys living in
mm-hmm.
Michigan, and don't worry, Michelle, I will be back hopefully soon.
I'm wondering if he took you fishing
cool.
at all.
He didn't take me fishing. I think that what did Chris say to me? He said, I asked him if he would go fishing with me, and he said, do I have to touch the fish? So what we've decided is he's going to teach me to play golf. And he'll drive the
That's
boat.
That's cool.
Anyway, thank you for letting me share. I'm going back to work now.
Lots safer to play golf.
Yes, I know.
All right. We appreciate you. Blessings.
Thank awesome. You. You too. Take care.
Especially for the fish.
I hear you. I don't eat them, but I guess I do catch them.
Oh, well. We'll hold the space. We love you. Appreciate you. All right. So, Michelle, do we have another hand up there?
We do. Area code 904. How are you today? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Michelle. It's Andy from Jacksonville.
Oh, hey. Nice to hear your voice.
Hey there. I almost mentioned your name about 45... Yeah, I said I almost mentioned your name about 45 seconds ago and shared with the audience that you were getting ready to do another Y workshop, so I'm glad to hear your voice.
Yes, actually I've scheduled one here in town for the 10th, and I'll probably be contacting a church up in the western part of Virginia tomorrow, and kind of excited about it. I'm going to be up there
awesome.
For Thanksgiving
week.
Awesome,
how can we support you?
I just want to call and tell
you
that...
That's very cool. It's nice that you'd be able to get to share it with your mom.
Yeah. Well, I've already taught her how to do the worksheets, and she took to it like a duck to water right off the bat. She started off with one that was like
awesome.
A two or a three, and it immediately hydrated, and she realized that little two or a three is something that she's been making excuses for her entire life, and it's, you know, kind of... She saw how it was a thread throughout her life. So neat stuff. Tonight I'm doing the first reality management support group.
Awesome.
So just wanted to kind of call and
share
about that.
Where is the support group?
It's in Jacksonville, kind of out
towards
the beach.
Where's it going to be?
It's going to be in a place called Florida Hypnotherapy Center. They're letting me use their office space. And the gal that has the space, she is active with A Course in Miracles. That's where we meet weekly, and she just said, "Yeah, come on." That's where I've also done the last workshop, and we'll be doing the next one.
Awesome. Well, maybe you could give the address and/or a contact phone number for information about the support group tonight and the workshop next week. And if you send the information to us, we'll certainly get it on the website as soon as possible. So,
okay.
So
I have
what's the address of the support group tonight?
Oh, gosh. Let me look it up. I have that form that you sent me, and I've started to modify that. In other words, add the address and that sort of thing.
Oh, cool.
But I didn't
complete
it. So you've
got the rod thing to do it. Awesome.
Yeah, it is 13500 Sutton Park Drive South, Suite 602. That's Jacksonville, Florida. We're going to be running from 6:30 to 8:30. And I think probably what I'll do
And for anybody that's doing it with...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say, for anybody doing it with a GPS, what's the zip code?
32224.
Cool. Maybe give it once more, just so anybody who wants to come join you can get it.
13500 Sutton Park Drive. That's S-U-T-T-O-N, Park Drive South, Suite 602, Jacksonville, Florida, 32224.
Awesome.
And that's the same place.
Well, we appreciate.
That's the same place I'll be doing the workshop on the 10th, and that one will be from 2 to 6.
Cool. 2 to 6. Is the 10th a Saturday, Sunday?
That's a Sunday.
Sunday. So
yeah,
2 to 6, Sunday the 10th at the same location. Yeah. Fabulous.
And I'll tell you, I'm thinking about setting that up as a maybe a monthly or bi-monthly thing. Just that thought crossed my mind earlier today, and I was thinking, huh, that might, might not be a bad idea, or it might be a good
idea.
When
I was developing this work, I think it'd be a very good idea. When I was first developing this work in South Florida, I did a Course in Miracles, actually three different Course in Miracles groups a week. I did one on a Thursday afternoon, Thursday night, and a Wednesday night in two different cities, about an hour and a little bit apart from each other. And we would have in the daytime group anywhere from 15 to 20 people, and then in the evenings, especially in the Fort Lauderdale group, we'd have 140, 160, 180 people every week.
Wow.
And I just did work with the Course in Miracles, and then once a month I did a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, and once a month I did a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop. And that was just like, what I found was that when people could get that they could rely on it being there every week, you know, they wouldn't necessarily show up every week. There's some people we'd only see once or twice a year. But once they got that, they can go for support every week, you know, there was a core, especially in Fort Lauderdale, there was a core of people of, we probably had, for 5 years at the Unity Church in Fort Lauderdale, we probably had 50 people who were there every week, like, never, I mean, if they were on vacation out of state or something, but otherwise, they were there every week, and then the rest of the group was made up of people we might see, you know, once or twice a month, or maybe only once a year. But but once people got that it was there for support, they were there, and it was awesome. It really, and of course, being in Florida as you are, you get a lot of, you know, international traffic too, and that's one of the ways that the work really took the leap of going national and then international, was people who would see it and touch into it and go home and try and find something like it. It's like, there's nothing like this. Would you come and teach here? So, you know.
Oh, cool.
That was my experience of building it.
So what was the general format of that group? My thought was to go in and see if any – I've already got someone that's saying they're having some difficulty with a couple of worksheets. And my thought was to find out if they wanted to share their worksheet in the group, either that or break off individually or just do some one-on-one stuff. What did that look like when you were doing it?
I think that what I found was the best way, if somebody's got questions, gee, you're stuck on number three, let's get into number three. To get somebody's refined questioning down pat and really get their question, then – you know, usually you'd find out that everybody had the same question. They kind of knew number three, but, I never thought of that part of it. Oh, man, that fills in a blank. So that way everybody got benefit from the questions. And, what most support groups are doing now, as Dr. Tim said, is they show an hour of a video and then do worksheets together and process, you know, answer questions. When I did the classes in South Florida, basically I focused, my work was on A Course in Miracles, and what I would do is I'd ask if anybody, you know, from their practice of the week, if anybody had any questions, what's your question? And I'd tap into that question and answer it, and then say, okay, somebody call out a number. Somebody call out 22 or 57 or 480, turn to page 480 and start right there. Just go into whatever with that particular material was about. And that was always, I found to be an awesome way to do it, and we were always just right on track with where the group was and what everybody needed.
Okay. Cool, great. Well, I'm excited.
And that was where, you know, that's where a lot of the processing that, you know, you've experienced at Heartland, where you saw that and at the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop that we did down there, that's where a lot of that processing developed out of that format with the course.
Okay.
Let me offer that one of the comments we got last night was from a woman who probably a year ago was there to see the first half of this lecture, Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment. And she shared after the first hour again last night that she maybe remembers three or four things from that video. And as she was sitting in the video watching it last night, she kept having the thought, I think I've seen this one before. And then there would be a little piece, and she'd say, oh, that sounds familiar. And by the end of it, she said, now I know what he was talking about. Now that whole technique of creating your secondary purpose makes sense. It took two showings and her attending the group to get build the brain cells, as Michael talks about, to understand the underlying concepts for the better part of the year before that clicked in. So I strongly recommend showing Michael's videos or several of them over and over again, and then asking people about their questions and comments to refine some of those key points, and then going into the worksheet process. For me, it has led to very, very deep, rich group process on an ongoing basis.
Okay.
You know, Tim, you remind me of the genius of the guy who started this work, this fellow named Yeshua. And, you know, take, for instance, the example that we just heard, where Susan talked about how she heard the inhibitory thing in Laws of Living, but it was just like not full. And then hearing it today, build some new brain cells, click, oh, there it is. And go back to Yeshua. I mean, how did this guy know this stuff 2,000 years ago? And he says, you got to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. It's about building the brain cells. If you don't have the brain cells, you know, obviously, I think we can assume most everybody in his audience had what we call physical eyes and ears. It wasn't about that. It was about having the brain cells to be able to hear what was really being said. And, you know, he repeatedly says, those who having eyes, they see not. Those who having ears do not hear. You can't hear, you can't see what you don't have the brain cells for. And that's, you know, sadly, a lot of people who start off with an interest in this work disappear. They won't stay around long enough to build the brain. Oh, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, hang around long enough to build the brain cells, and when it pops for you, it will be monumental.
So,
but
Michael,
unfortunately, a lot of people don't hang around long enough for that to happen.
You got 45 seconds. You want to wrap it
again?
Up?
45 seconds. I guess we need to wrap it up. Thank you, everybody. Andy, we hold the space for your workshops. Any support we can be, keep us informed on email. Jeannie's, I think her workshop's full. She may have one space that's still in question, I'm not sure, for healing women healing women. We invite you to bring a stranger to the show tomorrow and have the best year yet of your eternal life. We appreciate you. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.